Satya Sri Srimad, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai, ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrind Ki Jai, Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai, Prem Shri Gaur Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Dvaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudevi Gaur Bhakta Vrind Ki Jai, Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gogopina Shai Mukunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhana Ki Jai, Vrindavan Dhamma Ki Jai, Mathura Dhamma Ki Jai, Navadvipa Mayapur Dhamma Ki Jai, Jagannath Puri Dhamma Ki Jai, Ganga Maya Jamuna Devi Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai, Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, Nama Om Vishnupadaya, Krishna Prastaya Bhutale, Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namane, Namaste Sarasvati Deve, Gauravani Pacharane, Nirvisesa Sunyavadi Paskatyade Satarane, Vande Ham Sri Guru, Sri Yutaha Padakamalam, Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha, Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatham Bitamstam Sajivam, Sadvaitam, Sadvadutam, Padijana, Sahita, Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Sri Radha, Krishna Padam, Sahagana, Lalita, Sri Vishakam, Vitamscha, Manchakalpa, Chupascha, Kripasandabhavata, Patitanam, Pavanevyo, Vaishnavevyo, Namo Namaha. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So it is February 1st, 2023 with the VIHE, and we are
recording in progress.
Studying Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 23, Text 31 through 39. So we're going to do the mission accomplished a little differently today. I see we have a lot of people absent. So your mission accomplished was to think about what would be your ideal death. So, and I don't want to go around to everyone and ask them for the details. I just, if you have accomplished your mission, can you please just put up the thumbs up icon in your rectangle thingy? Not your hand, your thumbs up. Yes, Mahalakshmi got it. There you go. All right. Anybody who thought about or wrote down what would be their ideal death, please give us a thumbs up. Of course, we can meditate on Bhishma. I mean, here we're reading about Prithu, but Bhishma also had a very ideal death. That man who spoke on thousands of subjects with thousands of meanings, right, and fought on thousands of battlefields with thousands of men. At the end, he fixed his wide open eyes on the personality of Godhead. So congratulations to all of you who have mission accomplished. Excellent. You know, it matters, these things, because when we think about what is our ideal death, then we are going to live in such a way as to be the most likely to achieve that. Yes. All right, so we're finishing up. This is our last class. This did not work. Try again. All right. So here we have the, today we're having the benedictory verses. And there's a lot of them. Now, it's very common in the Bhagavatam to have benedictory verses. If you hear this, if you share it, if you hear it at sunrise on Sundays, you will get this benefit. That's quite common. However, the number and the scope of benedictory verses regarding Maharaj Prithu is quite uncommon. And one thing that has struck me as I was preparing for these classes is, at least in my experience in the Hare Krishna movement, that I very rarely hear preachers reference anything about Maharaj Prithu in their classes. So there are certain parts of the Bhagavatam that I hear referenced a lot. Certain stories, certain personalities, certain verses, Rishabhdev's teachings to his sons. We get a lot the story of, especially Jed Bharat, of course, Prahlad Maharaj, Ramachandra, of course, Krishna's Vrindavan, Leela, Lord Kapila Dev, a lot about Lord Kapila Dev, of course, a lot about the Pandavas. But Dhruva Maharaj, very common to have people refer to Dhruva, but I was thinking people don't refer to Prithu Maharaj very much. And yet there's all these incredible benedictions from reading and hearing and sharing about Prithu. So I think our overall mission for these two chapters we've been studying, chapter 22 and chapter 23, should be to bring something from these chapters about Maharaj Prithu, his life, his instructions, the instructions given to him, into our preaching. Because, wow, the benefit that we will get and that other people will get is amazing. And I was thinking also a lot about why these benedictory verses are there. Now, I'm personally convinced that very, very few people, including members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness or other related Vaishnava Sanghas, wake up in the morning and think, I've really got to develop love of God today. Generally, our concerns are, even if it's service-related, our concerns are more like, okay, I got to get the flowers today, I got to clean my room, all right, I have to make my car payment, I have to talk to this person, I have to, you know, what am I going to do? This devotee's upset with me, how am I going to deal with that? I'm going to meet somebody today, what am I going to say to them? I mean, it's often more those sort of things that absorb our consciousness. And so the Bhagavatam is speaking to, with these benedictory verses, it's speaking to our general material life concerns as well as our spiritual concerns. So for this lesson, we're going to be looking at mission accomplished at the end of the lesson because we're not meeting again after today. So as we go through today's lesson, I want us to, and we hear all these benedictory verses, I want us to pay attention to our kind of automatic emotional responses. Not intellectual or philosophical. Not what I've been told I should want or what's the socially acceptable thing to want. But what do I really want? To kind of watch our mind and our heart here. I remember many years ago, I was in Delhi at Govinda's restaurant with another devotee. And we were just talking casually. And this devotee, just as part of casual conversation, referred to Krishna as the transcendental autocrat. So it's not a term that Srila Prabhupada used very often at all, but in that very famous recording that Srila Prabhupada made in the very early days of the movement, maybe 66, it was on the Happening album, Prabhupada refers to Krishna as a transcendental autocrat. I believe he got that term from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. Anyway, so this devotee sitting across the table from me at Govinda's just says, and yes, Krishna is the transcendental autocrat. And immediately, I had a physical reaction of no. I could feel in my body this rebellion, this no, I don't like autocrats. I don't like dictators. I don't like autocrats. And as soon as I felt that, I thought, oh, no wonder I'm not Krishna conscious. A basic inherent rebellion against Krishna. And that experience was interesting, if only for the reason that if someone had asked me intellectually, do you accept that Krishna is the supreme controller and he can do whatever he wants? I'd say, of course. But when I noticed my actual internal emotional reaction, it was something different. And the same is true with, that's with things we don't want. And the same is true with things we want. Right? We might say, yes, I only want pure devotional service. Oh, I only want pure devotional service. Like, I remember meeting this devotee who said, I don't even care about going back to Godhead. You know, I just care about taking birth again and again to do service in the movement. And again, I noticed my own reaction was, I don't want to take birth again and again to do service in the movement. I want to go back to Godhead. So what is it we want? Hey, what is it we want? And again, not intellectual, not what am I supposed to want? What is the correct answer on the essay so I can get an A+? Not like that. Because that's not how it's going to work for us. Yam yam bab bismaram bhavam. We're going to get what we want. And we're going to get what we really want. Not what we pretend to want or what we convince ourselves that we want. Now, if in doing our mission for this class, you discover that what you really want is not what you really want to want. In other words, if there's a disconnect between what you believe, like I found talking to that person in Govinda's, there was a disconnect about what I believed to be true and how I actually felt. Then our next step, of course, is going to be to confront that. Now that we're not going to do during the class today. That's something you'll do on your own. But to confront that and to pray to the Lord to help you deal with these various desires. Right? Everybody clear what their mission is? So our mission is, as we're going to go through these benedictory verses, we're going to gauge, we're going to measure for ourselves what is our, like, gut reaction. Right? So if we're going to describe our mission, we could say that we're going to have a clear idea of what actually drives us and what motivates us in spiritual life so that we can have an honest, authentic relationship with the Lord and have a clear starting point for determining our next steps. So what does that mean? If actually I want some of the external benedictions offered here, if I read about them and I'm like, oh yes, I'm so glad I studied about King Prithu because this is what I'm going to get, then we should be honest about that with the Lord. Going to the Lord and saying, please just give me pure devotional service with our mouth when our heart is going, actually, I'd like this. That's not an authentic relationship. So we want an authentic relationship. That is our, we have to start from where we are. That's true also with getting directions. Just like if you go to your phone or your computer and you put in a place you want to go into your GPS, it has to have your starting location. If it doesn't, if your phone or computer, whatever, your GPS in your car, if it doesn't have your starting location, it can't give you directions. Depending on where you're starting, you may turn right or you may turn left. A person at a different starting point will turn left and you're going to turn right. So unless we are honestly authentic about where we are in this moment, we cannot properly ascertain our next step in Krishna consciousness. If we present ourselves dishonestly to ourselves or to others, we cannot understand ourselves, nor can we receive guidance from others. So accomplishing this mission, what will that feel like? So imagine, let's imagine for a moment, feeling fully authentic in our relationship with Krishna. Just that we're with Krishna and we're fully authentic. And we feel Krishna loving us for who we are and where we are presently situated, along with having impetus to improve and advance. So we feel fully loved and fully accepted by Krishna authentically for where we are right now. And at the same time, we have a clear step. How can I go forward? So the main principle being taught today is that even though the focus of the Bhagavatam is on pure devotional service, Dharma Prodita Kaitavatra, still there are both material and spiritual benedictions that flow from the Bhagavatam. And of course, the reason for that ultimately is that Krishna also wants material facility for the living entities. And as we've been reading in these chapters, that the purpose of this material world is to both fulfill the desires of the conditioned souls for their sense gratifications and at the same time give them liberation. Okay, starting with text 31. Ya idam sumahat punyam shrara yava hita patet shravayech chun yadvapi saprito padavim iyat. Any person who describes the great characteristics of King Prithu with faith and determination, whether he reads or hears of them himself, or helps others to hear of them, is certain to attain the very planet which Maharaj Prithu attained. In other words, such a person also returns home to the Vaikuntha planets, back to Godhead. Now, as we're going through these, try to remember them, because I'm going to be asking you to write them from memory. So I'd like to ask you, this applies to all of us, right? Hopefully we have some faith and determination. We're reading about them, we're hearing about them, we're helping others to hear about them. So we're going to go to Maharaj Prithu's planet. All right, so I'd kind of like to know, anybody here want to go to Maharaj Prithu's planet? You want to go to Maharaj Prithu's planet? Okay, I don't. I'm going to go to Krishna's planet. So if I don't want to go to Prithu's planet, maybe I shouldn't be reading this stuff. Okay, let's end the class right here. Everybody run away. Quick. Close the Bhagavatam. Don't read this anymore. Forget about it. Maybe that's why people don't talk about it in class, you know. Like I said, I've hardly ever heard any preacher refer to Maharaj Prithu. Maybe they're all scared. I don't know, you know, like, oh my God. Oh no, if I talk about Prithu, I'll end up on his planet. Ah, I want to be with the cows, with Krishna. I'll go to the wrong place. I once read about this lady. You know, there are identical names in the world to different places. Like, I think there's a Paris in Canada. You know, there's a Dover in the UK, and there's a Dover in New Jersey. And I once read about this woman who bought a ticket to the wrong place that had the same name, you know, and she gets off the plane. Where am I? And it was a completely different place with the same name. So, you know, we don't want to do that. We don't want to, you know, okay, I won't hear anything. Don't talk to me about Prithu. No, 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 no. No, no, I won't go there. So, any thoughts on this? We're hearing about it. We're reading about it. We're talking to each other. Anybody have any thoughts about this particular benediction? Yes, Ambika.
Just came in my mind that we read Srimad Bhagavatam also to get the example of the pure devotees. So Maharaj Prithu is one of them. And if we want to get to know Krishna at least that little bit that is possible, then we need to know Maharaj Prithu as well.
Oh, yeah. That's an excellent point. And there are many good reasons for reading about Maharaj Prithu, but my question is more like, am I going to go someplace I don't want to go by reading about this? Is this benediction going to be forced on me for reading it? Advaita Krishna Prabhu.
A benediction is not a curse. It's not condemned. You can get that or better.
I am so relieved. Thank you. All right. All right. Okay, I think we can go on now, right?
Can we go on? The other thing is, yeah? You can at least get out of here.
At least I can get out of here. Okay, so it's at least a get out of here.
And then we can move around.
Then I can move around. All right, I like that. I'm feeling a little relieved. I was going to like see if I could just delete all the classes we've taught so far. Tell the VIAG not to teach this section of the Bhagavatam. So you're all giving me a lot of solace here. Mahalakshmi, yes, what's your thoughts?
Well, my thought is that it's an example. He gives us example how to achieve connection to the Supreme, to the Lord. So by reading, well, it says planet, but I feel more, what I feel is the consciousness, no? A similar consciousness to his.
So yeah, but I don't know if I want a similar consciousness to his. I'm not quite sure. I think I want a consciousness that's a little different. As similar is all right, as long as it's not exactly the same.
No, not exactly, but okay. We can follow. We cannot imitate, but we can follow.
Well, but that's not what it's saying here. It's just saying if you just read it or hear it or help somebody else, and this applies to all of us. But I like what Advaita Krishna Prabhu said. Yes, Pulastamuni.
Well, I'm sure there'll be good government there. There won't be corruption or anything. And the atmosphere should be very conducive to spiritual life. So I think that,
after all, it
won't be that bad. You know, on the way to Golok, you know,
a gap stop there would be
a good thing, I think.
Okay, you wouldn't mind that as a layover.
As a gap stop.
Okay, like I'm going to be flying tomorrow to Seattle and I have a stop in Washington, D.C., right? On the way back, I have a long stop. I have like a six-hour layover somewhere. So, yeah,
like,
actually that's
like everyone wants to use Vaikuntha Lok as a halfway house, eh?
As a halfway house, yeah. Yeah, you know, sometimes in the pre-COVID days when I used to jet all over the world, sometimes I would actually plan, you know, like you can plan a stop on an international flight. If your stop is less than 24 hours long, you don't pay any extra for the ticket. So once I was flying to India, and I flew via Japan, and I took a 22-hour stop. I'd never been to Japan before. I took a 22-hour stop in Japan, and I got off. I went into Tokyo. I gave a couple classes in Tokyo, stayed with some wonderful devotees. They're originally from India, but they said, do you want American food or Indian food or Japanese food? I'm like, Japanese? And it was wonderful. So, yeah, that's fine. I mean, think of how many stopovers Gopal Kumar had. So I guess if we have to have a stopover, at least it'll be good government, right? All right. Well, I feel a little bit better now. I think I feel a little bit better. I'm a little bit more willing here to go on. So, whew. All right. Let's go on to the next benediction. Uh-oh. See, I had my own mission accomplished, right? Which benediction attracts me and this one doesn't. So this is like, yeah, I don't think I want that one, right? Prabhupada makes some really good points in this purport here. He says, hearing about devotees is as good as hearing about the Lord, and Lord Chaitanya liked to chant the name of the gopis. Mm-hmm. Prabhupada says, therefore, we can chant the name of the gopis. Now, sahajiyas, he says, they may be interested in the Lord, but not the devotees. But that devotion is not on a very high level. And it's even said that meditating on the devotees is higher than meditating on the Lord. Okay, let's go on to text 32. Let's see our next benedictions. Brahmano Brahmavar Chasvi Rajanyo Jagati Patihi Vaishya Patam Vichpati Syak Chudra Sata Matam Yat. If one hears of the characteristics of Prithu Maharaj and is a Brahmana, he becomes perfectly qualified with Brahminical powers. Wow, I wonder if that means that we who are Brahmanas can start cursing people to become trees or something. If he's a Kshatriya, he becomes king of the world. If he's a Vaishya, he becomes a master of other Vaishyas and many animals. And if he is a Shudra, he becomes the topmost devotees. Whoa, I think I want to be a Shudra. Yeah, I mean, I think I'm going to take that Varna here. I think I'd rather be a topmost devotee than be able to curse people to become trees. Now, it's very interesting that Srila Prabhupada, in this purport, this is extremely important. Please pick up your ears here. This is very, 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 very important. Srila Prabhupada says here that when the Bhagavatam is talking about Brahmin, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Shudras, it's talking about people who are born in such families. And basically it's saying, if you're born in that family, hearing about Maharaj Prithu will give you the actual qualifications of that Varna. Now, this is very, very important for two reasons. Two reasons? Yes. One reason is that words like Brahmana, let's take specifically Brahmana, are used in at least three different ways by Srila Prabhupada and by Shastra. One is birth. You're born in a Brahmana family. I mean, we have in America, and I'm sure this is true in many other places, political families. Like in America, we have the family of the Kennedys. So many people born in the Kennedy family actually acted as politicians, which would be, of course, in the Kshatriya Varna. So if you're born a Kennedy, there's a likelihood that you're going to go into politics. If you're born in the Rothschild or Rockefeller family, which are Vaishya families, it's likely that you would go into business and finance. So we have, even in the modern day, concepts of that the family you're in has something to do, can have something to do, not necessarily, with your livelihood. Also, anyway, we'll take that, birth. Another way that Brahmana is referred to is in terms of what you're actually doing for your livelihood and what's your nature. Are you working in the field of ideas? Are you a teacher? Are you a preacher? Are you a scientist? A researcher? Are you a doctor? Are you a priest? Are you a minister? Now, are you working in the field of ideas? And do you have the nature of the field of ideas? So that's another way of talking about Brahmana. Brahmana is, are you born in a family of intellectual scholars, priests, etc.? Or is that who you are by your nature and by your work? And there's another meaning of the word Brahmana, and that is one who knows Brahman, one who knows Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta use the word Brahmana and Vaishnava interchangeably sometimes, which is very confusing, because you might have a Vaishnava like Jayananda who's driving a taxi and repairing the cars and taking out the trash and doing work that's not in the Brahmana Varna. Yeah? But he's a Brahmana because he's a Vaishnava. So we find these three usages, particularly of the word Brahmana. Is your family a Brahmana? Are you yourself working as a Brahmana? And are you a Vaishnava regardless of what you're doing? So that's the first reason to understand these differences. The second is that there's a difference between proclivity for a Varna and having the Dharma of a Varna, of that Varna, which is what's being discussed in this verse. It's like if you read about Prithu, you will be blessed with the Dharma of your Varna in great opulence. So there are many people who have a propensity towards the field of resources or the field of artistry or the field of government or the field of ideas, but they haven't been trained in the Dharma of that field. Prabhupada says there are people with these inclinations in the four fields in almost every society in the world. But if one hasn't been trained in the Dharma of that field, they'll go into that field and they'll make a mess of things. I mean, we could think of this in terms of kind of craft expertise. My great-grandson Abhimanyu, who's four, he clearly has some kind of real fine motor skills ability. He's only 4 years old, and he can do very intricate work with his hands, which is quite rare for a four-year-old, and especially for a four-year-old male, to have such fine motor skills at that age. But what he does with that will depend to a large extent on training. So his mother, my granddaughter, is an artist. So she wants to train him in art. He could be trained in other things as well. Right? But unless he's trained, like let's say he could become a surgeon or a dentist, but he'd have to be trained. So just having that proclivity, that inclination, isn't sufficient. One has to have the training. So in a similar way, just having the inclination to work in the field of government doesn't mean you have learned the Dharma. So by hearing about Maharaj Prithu, one will actually help develop the Dharma of one's Varna. All right, I'd like to ask just briefly, why do you think the Shudras get the devotee benediction?
Hare Krishna Mataji?
Yes.
Is it because of their proclivity to serve?
I think so. Yes, I think so. When we were studying about career dharma, Rukmini and myself, when we were looking at the opulence of each of the four fields, one of the things that hit me very strongly is that those in the field of artistry are unique among all the Varnas, in that their greatest pleasure comes from doing things to please their customer. That's not so much prevalent in the field of ideas, the field of government, or the field of resources. It just isn't. I remembered when I was staying at the home of some devotees in St. Petersburg in Russia. The husband was the second. I didn't meet them. They were out of town. I stayed there with one of my granddaughters. I was told that the husband was the second best opera singer in all of Russia. They had the healthiest, most beautiful tulsi plants I have ever seen indoors. And in St. Petersburg. Imagine that. You know, a place where there's not much light in the winter and etc. I mean, I've seen such healthy tulsi plants outdoors in tropical climates, but never indoors, never, anywhere. And they had a lighting system that imitated the sun so that they had so many, I don't know, 20 tulsi plants that were all huge and big and bushy and healthy. And they had an artificial lighting system that the light moved like the sun in the room. It was pretty far out. Anyway, the other thing that they had there was they had original oil paintings from devotee artists. Like in most places, like here in my room, I have a picture behind me of Govardhan Hill, but that's just a print, right? And I have other pictures on my walls. I have the picture that Ambika has behind her. I have that picture the other side of my room. But they're just prints. They're not original paintings. So these devotees had original oil paintings, and I was thinking how the artist was taking pleasure in painting a picture that hangs in somebody else's house. I mean, that's a particular mentality. If I took all the time to paint a picture, I'd at least want to have it where I could see it regularly. I mean, I really wouldn't want to paint an original picture and just sell it or give it to somebody else, and I don't see it anymore. I mean, maybe for someone I love and I'm giving as a gift, but as my job to do that, I don't think so. That's the particular mentality of those in the field of artistry. It's each of the fields have their glory, and each of the fields has a particular aspect that really helps the person in bhakti. For each of the four fields, there's something about the dharma of that field that facilitates bhakti, but it's a different something for each field. And in the field of artistry, what that is the pleasure of service, the pleasure of doing something that somebody else takes pleasure in. That doesn't exist so much in the other fields. And so that's my conclusion. I agree with Pulastamuni that the reason the sudras are given this benediction is it's really an expansion of what is their natural field. Let's look back at the verse again. And let's look at... Sorry, I can't call in everybody for everything. And let's think about this. Brahminical powers. I don't think this just means being able to curse people to be trees and frogs. I mean, the Brahmanas were pretty scary in ancient times. One of the reasons everybody respected them. You know, if you disrespected a Brahmana, then poof, you may become an elephant or something. But brahminical powers, ultimately, are the power to discern the absolute truth through one's worship and through one's study. Through one's study, through one's teaching, through one's worship, one can understand the absolute truth. That is the particular power of the brahmanas. To become the king of the world, for a kshatriya, Krishna wants, right, dharma in the world. It is the desire of Krishna. Just like Pulastamuni said, if we go to Prithu's planet, it would be run nicely. So Krishna wants every planet run nicely. And this is the service that the kshatriya offers to the Lord. The kshatriya finds the Lord by making the kingdom on earth mirror the kingdom of God. The kshatriya's perfection is that the citizens, including the animals, the plants, they get to experience something of the kingdom of God in the earthly kingdom. For the Vaishyas, to become a master of other Vaishyas and many animals. So the Vaishyas dealing primarily with resources. It's a field of resources with wealth. Wealth is the wife of the Lord. Today here where I am, it's the appearance day of Lord Varaha. And Varaha rescues the earth, who is his wife. So we all know that the best way to approach Krishna is through Srimati Radharani. Right? Mahatmanastu mam partam daivi prakutim ashrita. To take shelter of the internal energy. So the best way the Vaishyas can attain, someone who has a Vaishya proclivity, is by seeing all the resources that they're generating and dealing with as their mother. Mother Lakshmi Devi, Mother Radharani, as seeing them as the wife of the Lord, the dear beloved of the Lord. And those in the field of artistry connect most through the concept of service. So this is really a benediction that we can approach the Lord and we can find the Lord and we can find pure devotional service through our nature. And the way I'm going to find Krishna is going to be different from the way someone else is going to find Krishna. Okay, going on to text 33. Tri kritva idam akarnya naro nad yatava drita apraja subrajatamo nirdano dhanavatamaha. It does not matter whether one is a man or a woman. Anyone who, with great respect, hears this narration of Maharaj Prithu will become the parent of many children if without children, and will become the richest if without money. Here we have a little condition. It's got to be with respect. And many times the benedictory verses have some condition. Sometimes the condition is you have to recite them early in the morning, or you have to recite them early in the morning on a full moon day or on Sunday or something like this. And here we have with respect. So, of course, in 2023, people don't consider that having many children is a blessing. In simpler agrarian societies, people considered having many children a blessing. If you had many children, they would be a support to you. And the concept of grihastha life, this is benedictions particularly for grihasthas, the service of the grihasthas is to produce good population and honest wealth according to their nature. That's their service. Good population and honest wealth according to their nature, however their, whatever kind of wealth. And we go over this in the Career Dharma course, that each field generates a particular type of wealth for society. And each particular kind of career generates a certain kind of wealth for the worker. But the field as a whole generates a particular kind of wealth for society. So this is a service. This is the service of the grihastha ashram, to produce not just a lot of children, but to produce children who are good citizens. Our youngest son, Keshava, I remember him saying to me many years ago that one of the best ways that we can contribute to society is by producing good children who will add to the wealth of society. I remember him saying to me, he's definitely in the field of resources and he thinks in those terms. And I remember him saying to me how that by the time he was like 22, that he had generated more wealth for society than his father and I had spent raising him, which I thought was an interesting way of thinking about one's life. And he was saying the same, that if you invest properly in your children, they will generate more for society than your investment. So this is not to have a lot of children and a lot of money so that one will enjoy family and enjoy wealth, but so that one can do this service. Because again, Krishna wants a planet full of pious persons, and he wants a planet full of pious, honest opulence also. Krishna doesn't want an impoverished planet. Just like no parent wants their child to be impoverished. So we are all Krishna's children, and this is a great service. Now, here in the purport, Prabhupada talks about how in the Bhagavatam and in the Shastra in general, there's often provision for worshipping different demigods in order to get these benedictions. But Prabhupada's saying that just by reading about Prithu, and he says just by reading about Prithu three times. Okay, well, I've done that. We'll get not only children, but also very qualified children. Now, of course, for those of us who aren't interested in biological children, for those of us who already have children, this is a benediction that our children will be qualified. For those who don't have biological children or adopted children or stepchildren, and who are no longer in the grihastha ashram, who are in the vanaprastha or sannyasa ashram and have no intention of having such children, this can certainly also refer to students. But we can see that this particular benediction may not be literally applicable to those who are not in the grihastha ashram. So for those who are not in the grihastha ashram, one would either say that this benediction is not applicable at all, or one would have to take this benediction kind of metaphorically, that one will be having a great wealth of knowledge or something like that, or one would be able to have many students, or that one would be able to help many people and preach Krishna consciousness and give people the wealth of Shastra. So one would have to take some, and we study this kind of thing in hermeneutics, one would have to take some kind of indirect meaning. Otherwise, we may run into the same kind of problem we ran into with the Prithu planet. You might say, wait a minute, you know, I'm like 82 years old and I'm a sannyasi, and if I read about Prithu, I'm going to have a lot of children and a lot of money. Ah, you know, I don't so either it'd say, no, that's not for you, or it would be one will get this benediction, but metaphorically, not literally. Okay, 34. Aspasta kirti suyasha murkyo bhavati pandita idam swasya yamam pumsam amangalya nivaranam. Also, one who hears this narration three times. Now here's the condition again. Can't just be once. So this is your first time hearing it. Sorry, don't get this one. Got to go back and hear it another two times. Will become very reputable if he is not recognized in society, and he will become a great scholar if he's illiterate. In other words, hearing of the narrations of Prithu Maharaj is so auspicious that it drives away all bad luck. I really like this. Murko bhavati pandita, a fool becomes a pandit. All right, so let's look at this one here. And I'm kind of curious as to what this means. I'm really curious. I have three questions about this. These are my three questions. Anybody want to try to answer any of them? And I may call on people who do not volunteer.
By hearing multiple times, I feel that you start developing knowledge, understanding of what should be done, what not should be done, and it starts changing your behavior.
Oh. All right.
So, one, it may not stick. Two, maybe a little more. 3 minutes, then you remember it, and you start applying.
So what I'm hearing you saying is not an interpretation of luck as something just random, correct? What I'm hearing you saying is,
exactly.
I'm going to hear this three times, and that hearing is going to change me.
Yes.
And I've got to hear it three times, because if I just hear it once, it may be like we've had all these exercises in these different classes. I'm going to have another one today, where I say, okay, write down without looking. And a lot of you are like, what was it again? Right? You'll get 2 out of 10 or something. So 3 times one will remember, and then it changes our behavior. And by changing our behavior, it changes our destiny. That's what I'm hearing from you? Wow, I like that. You know, one of the reasons I love teaching Shastra is because my students are also teachers. Paraspranam. Okay, so Surya Gaur says, Srinvitam Swakata Krishna Punya Shravanam Kirtana Vidyantasa Bhadruni Vijinoti Suritsitam. That Krishna cleanses the heart. Of course, when I hear that verse, I always want to go a little deeper and ask why. But let's go to Pulastamuni, why and how. What's your thoughts on my three questions?
Hare Krishna, Mataji. I was focusing on the word bad luck.
What does bad luck mean? Who knows what kind of people approach the Bhagavatam? What if somebody's a Karmakandi and sees all these benediction and thinks, wow, you know? And that could be deemed as bad luck, according to Vyasadeva and according to Sukadeva Goswami, you know, that somebody gets stuck into that kind of materialistic approach towards the Srimad Bhagavatam, and they think, wow, so many benedictions, I'm just going to read it, you know, three times, and then, you know, it could be that. Bad luck could be that.
So bad luck could be a materialistic propensity. Let me see if I'm hearing you correctly. Bad luck could be a materialistic propensity that by reading it changes.
Misinterpretation.
Yes. Okay. So what I think I'm hearing. So all right, I'm a materialist. I'm Miss Materialist here, and I read this benediction and I think, whoa, all my bad luck will change. Right? I'm going to read this three times, and as I read it three times, my materialism starts to go away, and therefore my fortune changes. Am I getting you right?
Not necessary. You can come with the approach of a devotee also. And then suddenly you realize inside that your desire is not actually what you came for, but it's something else. It happens a lot, even in our society. No names, but what I'm saying is it happens a lot. Maybe because we're not really honest with ourselves, you know. The opportunities will come in bhakti, and then, you know, it's... And your true nature will come out sooner or later.
Yes, well, that's why, like, when I read this particular benediction, I'm like, I want this one. Like, I don't really want to go to Prithu's planet, and I don't want any more kids. I'm done with having kids, you know. But I'd like my bad luck to go away. You guys don't want to know about all the bad luck I've had. There was some song... I forget the name of it anyway. When I was young, there was some song, popular song, that maybe I could actually find it. If I didn't have any bad luck, I wouldn't have any luck at all. I'll see if I can find that for you. Yeah, all right, let's see if I can find this. It's really funny. All right. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Okay, I'm gonna risk sharing this with you. And
Mataji, was it a Ray Charles song?
I don't know. Was it a Ray Charles song? Well, if it was, then I've gotta search better here.
Could be a Ray Charles song.
Was it a Ray Charles song? Oh, you're right. So then we're definitely gonna go to Ray Charles. We're not gonna
Nuli is a way to get creative with what you wear every single day in a way that's gentler on the planet and your wallet.
Yeah. Okay, and don't report me to the to the Maya police or whatever. All right, so let's. We won't hear the whole thing.
As I was beginning this morning.
Well,
oh Lord.
We should tell them to read the Maharaj Prithu's story three times to turn around their bad luck, right? So do we see this in our life? Anybody have any thoughts? Do we see this, that we read about Maharaj Prithu three times and all of our bad luck disappears?
I think it does. It should it would happen, because you see, we are every day we are going somebody to meet, you know, we go to meet somebody and we find out, oh, he's not even there. Or we had to go buy some, you know, we want to buy, go to a store to buy a product, and you don't find it on the shelf. It's like bad luck, right?
Right.
So every day we face such kind of situations. This reading creates auspiciousness when things start lining up better.
Yeah, I mean, I have seen that. I'm sure we've all seen that. But I'll tell you, sometimes things line up badly, Prabhu. Even for devotees. And Golagavasini said, how can a devotee have bad luck? They're the most fortunate. Brahmanya, Brahmite, Konya, Bhagavan. Bhagavan, Jiva. So, Golagavasini has decided that even if things look like bad luck externally, they're actually all benedictions. So what Golagavasini is saying, that by reading about Maharaj Prithu, we see our life as good luck, even if others see our life as bad luck. A friend of mine just found out that one of her relatives stole a whole bunch of money from her, basically bankrupted her. And, you know, the only way that she's going to be able to pay for her life is to go into debt. But she's been wanting to start her own business now for years. And she said, this situation is pushing me to start my own business. And I said, well, maybe it's actually a great fortune. All right, Neelamani, your thoughts on this?
Yes, along with the lines of Golagavasini Mataji, that maybe it's not maybe just Prithu Maharaj, but as we read and study more and slowly become a little more Krishna conscious, our perception towards bad luck or our response to events that otherwise we would attribute to bad luck changes, such that we're not so impacted by them anymore. We take that, yes, it's part of Krishna's plan, and Krishna's plan is all good, therefore, you know, I just don't see it, but just go with the flow and things will,
yes,
in time, surely get better.
And I have personally experienced that. That some of the things that happened in my life that I thought were the worst possible bad luck ended up being a doorway to very good fortune. Okay, I can't take it, but we're at the top of the hour. So I would like us to stretch. Stand up. Get out of your seat. Stand up. Everybody, stand up. On your toes. Stretch up to the ceiling. Yes, all right. Turn around. Yeah, look away from the screen. Look at a distance. Stretch, stretch, stretch. All right. By the way, I'm so grateful to Krishna Range that I'm teaching this class now. It's such a nice absorption for me in Shastra. I am very, very grateful. That's always true, but at this particular point in my life, I feel like it's a particular blessing. All right. Okay, we're on 35. Danyam yasashyas ayushyam swargam kali mala paham Dharm arta kama mokshanam samyak siddhim adips subi shradha yaitad anushravyam chaturnam karanam param. By hearing the narration of Prithu Maharaj, one can become great, increase his duration of life, gain promotion to the heavenly planets, and counteract the contaminations of this age of Kali. That's a lot of things. Great. Why am I not? I need to adjust something. Okay, so one can become great, increase one's duration of life beyond one's karma, go to the heavenly planets, counteract the age of Kali, at least for oneself, I assume. All right, that was four things right there. Let's see, do I want to become great? Yeah, I guess. I'd love to have a nice platform for preaching. That would be cool. Increase the duration of life. Only if I could stay healthy. I don't want to live a long life incapacitated. Otherwise, I really don't care. Gain promotion to the heavenly planets, I don't think I want that. I mean, I'd rather that than coming back here to Earth. But I don't think I want that. Counteract the contaminations of this age of Kali. I'd really like that. Wow. That's something I really would like. In addition, one can promote the causes of religion, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation. Now, that's kind of interesting. Because we were reading about previously how, although we can't stop having any interest in dharma, artha, and kama, as long as we have a body, that we should be willing to neglect those for moksha. Therefore, from all sides, it is advisable for a materialistic person who is interested in such things to read and hear the narrations of the life and character of Prithu Maharaj. Now, here Prabhupada added that. If we look at the translation, we don't see this a materialistic person who's interested in such things. That's not in the verse. Prabhupada takes it that that's implied, and so he puts that there. Okay, so Srila Prabhupada in this purport says, as soon as one becomes a devotee, his material desires automatically become fulfilled. Therefore, it is recommended in Bhagavatam, Akama Sarvakama Va Mokshakama Udaradi Tivarena Bhakti Yogena Yajeta Purusham Param, that even if we have all material desires, that they will become fulfilled. Huh. All right, folks. Oh, I stopped sharing. Krishna Chaitanya, I'm so sorry. Let me... Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. None of you told me that I wasn't sharing. Bad, bad, bad. All right, let's look back at this. Krishna, what verse are we on? We are on 35. You didn't even tell me. Hey, you're not sharing. All right, so here's the verse. Great, increased duration of life, promotion to the heavenly planets, counteract Kali, promote religion, economic development, sense gratification, liberation. And I was showing you how what Prabhupada says here, a materialistic person who's interested in such things is not in the Sanskrit. And Prabhupada in the purport says that a devotee gets all their material desires fulfilled automatically. Alrighty. What does that mean? And I'd like to hear from someone who hasn't said anything yet. What does it mean that a devotee has all his material desires automatically fulfilled? I mean, I know a lot of people who I would say are devotees who don't seem to have all their material desires fulfilled. So, what does that mean?
May I, Mataji?
Yes, yes.
That shows that, that means that the devotees are satisfied with whatever Krishna provides to them, even though they may have, you know, desires or, you know, to acquire more. But then, you know, they feel and they understand that if Krishna is giving me this much, I should be satisfied in this.
Oh, I like that. I've given the example sometimes about money. So money in and of itself is useless. We want money because it gives us, what does money give us? Security, right? That's even investments are even called securities. Am I right? Yes? Yes? We want money for maybe for status. People will give us more respect. Facilities, yes. So we for pleasure. If I have money, I can buy nice clothes. I can eat nice food. I can travel in business class. If that was one of the benedictions here, I would take that. You can travel in business class. I'm like, I'll take that one. And somehow they didn't list that in the benedictions for Prithu Maharaj. Skip that one. That's why we want money. We want money for security, for facility, for pleasure, for status, for freedom. When you have money, you have a lot of freedom. Now, let's say we had all that. Let's say we had full security, full pleasures, full freedom, full respect. Would we need money? No. Many, many years ago, when I was visiting India, I was visiting in Chaupati, and I was doing some service there, and there's one devotee there who's extremely wealthy. And he said, well, thank you for doing this service. He said, would you like to visit Vrindavan while you're in India? And I said, sure. And he said, well, I'll pay your plane ticket. He said, I'll have you driven to the airport. Have one of my drivers take you to the airport. I'll pay your ticket to Vrindavan. I can have a driver pick you up at the airport in Delhi and bring you to Vrindavan. And I have a place in Vrindavan. You can stay there. So without my having to have any money at all, everything was provided. And if someone said, would you want money? I'd say, why? I don't need it. Everything's taken care of. So it's very much like that. Why do we have material desires? We're hoping through our material desires to get happiness, to get life, security, to get understanding, to get community. That's what we're hoping to get. That's what we want, relationships. So if we have all that fulfilled in Krishna consciousness, then our material desires are fulfilled, whether or not the externals are fulfilled. Does that make sense to everybody? One feels that the reason that prompted me to want this thing has been satisfied. Therefore, whether or not I have this thing externally now becomes irrelevant. So let's say I had thought, well, I want to go to Vrindavan, so therefore I need, you know, whatever, $500. But because I got to go without having the $500, whether or not I had the $500 became irrelevant. It just didn't matter anymore. So I understand it like that, that what's pushing us to want things in this world becomes satisfied. Think about, you know, if someone has some disease and they may desire a particular treatment that's very expensive, very difficult to get. But if their disease is cured, then their desire for that treatment vanishes. It's fulfilled. Does this make sense to everybody? Yes?
Sorry. Very nice, Mataji. I used to wonder, you know, that verse below about Bilwa Mangal Thakur saying, Mukti Swa, Ugulanjali Sevade Sama, Dharma Artha Kamgata Samaya Pratiksha. Dharma Artha, that you get the benefit of Dharma Artha Kam by becoming a devotee. And I always wondered, how do I get, you know, the satisfaction of Dharma Artha Kam by becoming a devotee?
It doesn't look like that. I mean, I look around at people chanting Hare Krishna, I look at my own life, and I'm like, I don't know. It doesn't look like that.
Yeah.
It just doesn't look like that. It looks like a lot of materialistic people have a lot more Dharma Artha Kama than I have.
You're satisfied, you got the benefit of it.
The benefit of it, yes. Yes, you no longer need that thing, which doesn't really give you it anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, money doesn't really give you security. Actually, money tends to give you insecurity. The research is that no matter how much money a person has, they always think they want 10% more. In our Career Dharma book, we did research, you know, when does a person feel they have enough money? And people will say things like, you know, $1 million or 70,000 British pounds or something. I mean, money tends to make us feel more insecure, actually. Instead of giving us status, it tends to create envy and discord. But if we're feeling that we have those things, whether or not we have money, again, it's irrelevant. It just doesn't matter. We have what the money would be used for. So this is what I see in general, that devotees feel that what is pushing us to want materialistic things is already taken care of. I don't need it anymore. I don't need it anymore. It's not necessary. You know, can you give me a ride to the store to buy some food, and then someone knocks on your door and brings you a plate of prasadam, and the person says, "Do you need a ride?" "No, I don't. My needs are satisfied." And you could say, "Well, you didn't get the ride, but I don't need it anymore. It's already taken care of." So I see like that. That all of what we hope to gain through Dharma, all of what we hope to gain through Artha, all of what we hope to gain through Kama, we find that Krishna is the reservoir of all that. And therefore, we have it. We're like, "Oh, I already have it." I mean, that's pretty cool, actually. So by reading about Maharaj Prithu, we may get those things externally or may not. But we certainly realize that we already have them. All right, 36. Vijaya Bhimukho Raja Shrutvaitad Abhiyatiyan Balin Tasmai Haratyagre Rajana Prithaveyata. If a king who is desirous of attaining victory and ruling power chants the narration of Prithu Maharaj three times before going forth on his chariot, all subordinate kings will automatically render all kinds of taxes unto him as they rendered them unto Maharaj Prithu simply on his order. So this is a victory narration. I have sometimes meditated on certain parts of the Bhagavatam that promise victory in certain situations. We had a thing many, many years ago about taxes. They wanted to tax, the government wanted to tax the property of our Gurukula, which as a nonprofit should not have had to pay property tax. And we lost the first round and won on the second round. And I was particularly reading and chanting and meditating on the narrations of the Bhagavatam that promise victory. So, of course, this benediction was already given in 32. Remember that? So right now we're in 36. Let's go up back to 32. Right? Remember all of the varnas? There we already had, if he's a kshatriya, he becomes king of the world. What was the Sanskrit? Right, Rajanyo Jagatipati, he becomes king of the world. And now we're getting this again, just for the kshatriyas. So we're not getting the Brahmin Vaishya Shudra benediction here, we're just getting the kshatriyas. And not only does he become king of the world, why is this mentioned again? Why is it mentioned separately? Well, probably because Maharaj Prithu, number one, was the ideal kshatriya. And also because, like, I'm just right now studying the Mahabharata and how when the five Pandavas, actually four of them, I think Yudhisthira stayed back in Indraprastha, but when Bhima, Arjuna, Nakul, and Sahadev were going around the world asking the kings to pay tribute for the Rajasuya, sometimes they had to fight. So sometimes the kings paid tribute voluntarily, and sometimes they had to fight. And occasionally, like with King Jarasandha, they actually killed the king. Usually they just defeated the king. So here it sounds like not only do you get to conquer the world, but you get to conquer the world fairly easily. You know, you're just going to like show up and everybody's just going to surrender. You're not going to have a fight. Yeah. Now, Prabhupada says here, very interesting, since a kshatriya king naturally desires to rule the world. And we may read this and say, wow, how materialistic is that? Right? How materialistic is that? Somehow I keep losing this thing. It's messing up the recording. So we might say that's really materialistic to want to rule the world. But that's not a fact. Why do I keep losing my thingamabobber somehow or other? And I know that that messes up. I know that will mess up the recording. Krishna. We might think that, oh, that's very materialistic. My picture keeps disappearing from my screen. I don't know why, and I know that means my picture will not be there on the recording, but I'm just going to leave it for now because I can't figure out why it's doing that. It's like, why are you doing that? I don't know. You can see me. All right, well, maybe it'll show up on the recording then. And because they want to rule the world for service. The reason a Kshatriya who's a Rajarshi wants to rule the world is they want to take care of as many people and land and everything as possible in the service of the Lord. Just like a Vaishya wants to create as much good, honest wealth for the people of the world. This sort of expansive tendency of the Vaishya and the Kshatriya is a natural thing. It's not actually materialistic at all. And it really is meant to be used in the service of the Lord. So this is a benediction that if you are a proper Kshatriya, yeah, I know you see my screen, but can you see my face also? Is my question, because I can't see my face anymore, and I don't know why.
I can see your face, Mataji, but there is some black stuff showing up on your screen here and there.
Yeah, it's weird.
Black box kind of thing.
Yeah, it's really weird. I'm going to try stopping the share again and see what in the world is going on here. Why is it doing this? So usually if I share my screen, I can also see, yeah, it's like the people disappear. And maybe I'm going to try to share a portion of the screen and see if that'll work.
We are able to see everything. It's just that some small band kind of thing shows up bottom of the screen. It's okay for us.
Oh, I know what I see. I see the problem. All right. I understand what happened now. Okay. Yes, there we go. Okay. Sometimes technology is our friend. And sometimes it is not our friend. Sometimes you need that. That should be another benediction, that if you read the pastimes of Maharaj Prithu, the gods of technology will always smile upon you. All right. So, of course, I don't know if I would like this benediction. First of all, I'm not a king or a queen. I don't really want everybody to pay taxes to me. But I think we might have some interest in this, in being able to conquer the world for Prabhupada, being able to conquer the world for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That I would very much like. Okay, text 37. Muktanya Sango Bhavat Bhagavat Yamalam Bhaktim Udvahan Vanyasya Charitam Punyam Srinu Yach Travayet Patet. A pure devotee who is executing the different processes of devotional service may be situated in the transcendental position, being completely absorbed in Krishna consciousness. But even he, while discharging devotional service, must hear, read, and induce others to hear about the character and life of Prithu Maharaj. And here Prabhupada's really hitting on the sahajiyas. You know, people who say, I only want to hear about Rasleela. You know, I don't want to hear about these other things. Okay, you're an advanced devotee. Jai Hari Bol, advanced devotee. But if you're really, even if you're an advanced devotee, even if you don't think you need to hear about Prithu, it's still purifying. And actually, an advanced devotee wants to hear about everything. Many years ago, on I guess it was my first visit to Cape Town, So I met this wonderful devotee. She's since passed away. So anyway, I met this wonderful devotee. She was already in her 70s. She had been, before joining the movement, a medical doctor, and not only a medical doctor, she had been in charge of a major medical complex, and she was very good friends with the local politicians. A very intelligent, capable, accomplished person. She joined ISKCON very late in life. She was raised in a family of devotees. And she said that during her whole life, whenever she would walk, she would be saying, Krishna Rama, Krishna Rama, Krishna Rama, Krishna Rama, as she was walking. Anyway, so she had joined the movement. As she had, at that time that I met her, she had just Harinam Diksha. And she'd become ill. She had been bedridden for about 2 years. And she was healthy when I met her, but she had recently come out of a two-year illness. And during that time, she was mostly just chanting and hearing and reading Bhagavatam. So she was talking to me about the Bhagavatam privately in her room. I was talking to her. And everything she talked about the Bhagavatam, she would start demonstrating various ecstatic symptoms. I always remember how she started talking about Atri Muni. And she said, then Atri Muni, he was walking on one leg and he was going to see. And I'm sitting there thinking, wow, you're ecstatic thinking about Atri Muni. And she's just going on and on about all these different pastimes in the Bhagavatam, and for each one of them, she's just like exploding in happiness. Now, she was also very realized as to her swarup. She said to me, Urmila, I want to ask you about my japa, if what I do is all right. She said, when I chant japa, first I meditate on offering lotus flower to Parvati and Shiva, and then I meditate on worshipping Lakshmi Narayan, and then I meditate on offering lotus flowers to each of the Panchatattva and each of the Goswamis, and then to Radha Krishna, and then Lalita, and Vishakha, and Sudevi, and Chitra, and then Tangavidya. And she just breaks down. And she says, is that all right? I really love Tangavidya. And I'm sitting there thinking, wow, cool. I said, yeah, I think it's just fine. But she wasn't, although she was realizing that she was a servant of Tangavidya, she loved reading about Atri Muni. She loved reading about Prithu Maharaj. We have Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He would sit with Gadadhar Pandit, with Swarup Damodar, with Ramananda Roy, and he would be in ecstasy about reading about Dhruva and Prahlad. Dhruva, who Rupa Goswami categorizes as one of the Kanista devotees searching for wealth. And still Mahaprabhu was overcome with ecstasy. So we can find in this narration of Prithu Maharaj, right, we can find everything. It's not that we only want to hear the 10th canto. Okay, coming to the end. Vajchitra virya abhityam mahan mahatmya sukakam asmin kritam atim marchyam partavim gatim apnuyat. The great sage Maitreya continued, my dear Vidura, I have as far as possible, second time he said this, that has done it as far as possible, spoken the narrations about Prithu Maharaj, which enrich one's devotional attitude. So this is another benediction. This is something that I would like. I'd like to have an enriched devotional attitude. Whoever takes advantage of these benefits also goes back home, back to Godhead, like Maharaj Prithu. Wow, that sounds like a nice one. And Prabhupada says here that we should not only hear about Prithu, but we should preach about others. We should preach about Prithu to others. He says here, whenever it is possible, devotees should attempt to induce others to hear about Prithu Maharaj. One should not only read of his pastimes for one's own benefit, but should also induce others to read and hear about them also. In this way, everyone can be benefited. Okay, our last verse. Anu Dinam. Remember we talked about Anu following, like Anu Smaram, remembering over and over again. Dina is day. Anu Dinam, day after day. Anu Dinam Idam Adarena Shrinvan Prithu Charitam Pratayam Vimukta Sangha Bhagavati Bhava Sindhupotapade Sacha Nipunam Babate Ratim Manushya. Whoever, with great reverence and adoration, so here we have a little condition here, regularly reads, chants, and describes the history of Maharaj Prithu's activities, will certainly increase unflinching. Oh, you know, unflinching is like to flinch. This is to flinch. Unflinching. Unflinching faith and attraction for the lotus feet of the Lord. The Lord's lotus feet are the boat by which one can cross the ocean of nescience. Okay, we've got a boat crossing an ocean again. Right? Remember we already had a reference to a boat crossing an ocean? References to like Bhagavatam 10.2.30 and the verse in 10.14. Unflinching faith and attraction for the lotus feet of the Lord. Well, I would like to have unflinching. In other words, it doesn't stop. Attraction for the lotus feet of the Lord and faith in the lotus feet of the Lord. All right, thus, and the Bhaktivedanta purports of the fourth canto, 23rd chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Maharaj Prithu's Going Back Home. All right, now we have done this exercise before, folks. So I know that you're already really, really good at it. So I want you, do not look at your notes. Do not look at the chat. Do not look at the Bhagavatam. Do not ask anybody else either. You're going to have 5 minutes. 5 minutes to write from memory all the benedictions. 5 minutes to write from memory. Okay, go. Now check. Take your list. Look at the Bhagavatam and check and see if you missed any. Make any corrections. Just put a number in the chat of how many of them you got right. Just put a number. Put a number in the chat of how many you got right. Woo! Advaita Krishna! Bhagavatini, excellent, alrighty. Whoa, Shakti Manta, woohoo. Hey, Kanta, yay. And Shaimananda. Very good, very good. Radnams, almost, wow, you're almost there with the big timers. Whoa, Sridhagore, Hadibo, Hadibo, Pulastamuni, moving up there, alrighty. Alright, now, you don't need to share this with anybody else. This is just for you, you and God. Look at the list of all of them. Which ones do you really want? Really want, folks, not which ones you think you're supposed to want. You're not trying to impress me, not trying to impress anybody else. You don't have to tell anybody. Give me your little secret. Please put a little star by the ones you really want. Actually, that you would actually really, really want. Honestly, again, honestly. I don't want you just saying, yeah, I want to conquer the world because I want to Make everybody Krishna conscious, if that's not really why you want to conquer the world. So which ones do you really want and why? Okay, you don't have to write down why, but I'd like you to at least think about why. What's driving you?
That's
you know you're going to get that. All right, now I'd like you to take one of the ones you starred that you would like the most. If you could only get one benediction from hearing and reading about Prithu, again, be honest. This is just for you. Be honest. Take the one that you would like the most, put a circle around it, and actually write a sentence for yourself as to why you want that the most. If you could only have one of these benedictions, circle the one that you would like the most and write one sentence just for yourself, not going to be sharing this, about why. Well, I wasn't exactly truthful about not sharing it. You're going to share it with somebody. If you have this on a piece of paper or on your phone, I'd like you, or on a laptop that you can move, I'd like you to take that paper or phone or laptop and bring it over to wherever you have your altar or a picture. If you've written this on a desktop computer, I'd like, if you have a picture that's movable, like I have a movable picture, bring it over to your computer, and I'd like you to share this with the Lord. We're going to give you a minute. Please either bring your paper, computer, or laptop to your altar, or if you're working on a desktop that's not movable, please bring your picture to your computer and share your desire with the Lord. What picture is that? It's a picture that was in this room when I moved in, so it wasn't one that I chose, but I really like it. It's Krishna and Balaram in Vrindavan. Okay, so please take what you wrote and carry it over to your altar, or carry a picture to your computer and offer your desire to the Lord. So we have about 15 minutes left. We could just end our last class early, which is fine with me. I have another class today in 3 hours, and I also have to... I mean, I'm always packed. Always. My suitcase is always packed, but still it takes me about 15, 20 minutes to put things together for my trip tomorrow. I'd like all of you to please... say a prayer today for Chakra, that he has an auspicious destination and that things go well with his funeral on Friday. For those of you for whom this is the appearance day of Lord Varaha, happy Varaha appearance day. We have Lord Nityananda's appearance day tomorrow here. So happy Lord Nityananda's appearance day. I want to express my gratitude that you were willing to have me switch that one class around, so that I could take care of all of you and still travel. If you like, we can open this up. If anybody has any points they want to make on anything in Chapter 22 or Chapter 23, so we can open that up for about 10 minutes for any general questions, if anybody has any, or anything that you'd like to discuss from anything at all.
Well, thank you for spending so much time
on...
on these two chapters. You know, normally we spend like two classes per chapter, but here like so many classes on these two chapters.
Well, that wasn't my doing. That was the VIHE. They gave me the class schedule. I had nothing to do with it.
I was really just obedient. Spent so much time on this. Actually, it's so beneficial for our spiritual life. And in the beginning, I was thinking, well, how are we going to cover the whole section? But then I'm glad that, you know, you went so deep, and it's so, and especially the last exercise we just did, I felt, this is just my feeling, I just felt like it was a test to our varna.
Oh, I like that. Someone asked when the Career Dharma course is going to start. I've been teaching little bits of it for free online. I really have to develop the whole online program. I was supposed to be teaching an overview this Saturday, but because of the funeral, I think we're going to delay it. But I have been teaching it a number of times. And I sent to Shakti Swarupini the URL if you want to sign up for notifications on that. We are working on it. Yeah. Okay, Surya Gaur Prabhu. Yes.
Hare Krishna Mataji, thank you so much for your classes. To be very true, you are the only teacher in whose class I remain most attentive, because you may call anytime or do a breakout room. So I feel that you are the most strict teacher. And as far as these benedictions were concerned, so what I feel, this is my personal observation, that if we read scriptures based on their benedictions, there are 99% chances that they are not going to work. This is my personal observation, because that's why they are given at last. Because first read and then you will get. But if we read for these benedictions, then they are not going to work.
You think
this is
so?
My personal.
Well, I haven't had that experience. I mean, I really haven't. Like, I have definitely gone into situations where I'm like, okay, all right, which part of the scripture is going to give me that benediction that I need? And I have read that, and it has happened. So I at least my practical experience is not like that. You
maybe
know, especially
I don't have that.
One of the problems with being a well-known preacher in ISKCON is that there are also people who hate you and want to defame you. That's just like comes with the territory. It's like, you know, you get a t-shirt with a target on the back as part of your service, one of your perks. So I have definitely meditated on the Shamantaka Jewel pastime that says that one who meditates on this will not be defamed. There's the Shiva Jwara and Narayana Jwara for being victorious. I've definitely meditated on that, to be victorious. Like when I was
increase my surrender.
When I was dealing with the tax people, you know, I was reading that story and meditating on that story. So, yeah, I'm not sure if it works like that. Hopefully, even the benedictions we want, we can use in service. I mean, I'm trying to dovetail my desires in service as much as I can, you know. Like Prabhupada says, if you want to eat palatable food, offer it to Krishna. So I'm trying that whatever I want. You know, I do want things. I would like to have good health, and I would like to have a sound mind. And I like to have a roof over my head. I really don't want to like live out on the street as a quadriplegic with people throwing tomatoes at me. You know, I mean, just to be honest, I wouldn't intentionally do what Rishabhdev did, where he just, you know, wandered around like a crazy person and people were throwing poop at him. That doesn't appeal to me. I'm like, I don't want that. No, thank you. But I'm trying to use that in Krishna's service. I'm trying to use my friendships, my roof. I'm trying to use that to do some service. you know, I'm really not attracted to going into the forest like Maharaj Prithu and eating tree trunks. That's not, I'm not like Jai Haribo. Let me live in the forest and eat tree trunks. I'm very happy to have Khichdi. But at least I want to offer the Khichdi to Krishna and meditate on Krishna enjoying it and meditate on doing it for his pleasure. So, yes, you know, sometimes I may want some benedictions and then I try to use that in his service. Any other thoughts about these two chapters?
One more thing, I want to take time. This is the first time I've really had a good analysis of Falastuti.
Oh.
Never before. I just read them like, you know, okay, the essence is done. We're not so worried about the fruits. But it's incredible.
Oh.
First time, Babaji. I mean, I read and I even teach it sometimes, but this was a very nice exercise. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're very, very welcome. I have just finished although I already have a PhD in education and I've been a teacher since I was, my God, when did I start being a teacher? In my 20s. I recently finished a 12-week course on how to design online courses. And the organization that teaches this is just expert beyond anything I could have imagined. They took everything that I knew about education and they explained it so well and they gave you so much facility to implement it, and I also learned some new things. Some of the things I learned was how to implement things that I already knew and things that I knew but I didn't think I could do. So I'm trying to be the kind of teacher where you will experience Krishna consciousness in the class itself. It's not just a class of theory for you to experience Krishna consciousness later, and that you will feel connected with the Shastra, that you'll feel connected with the personalities of the Shastra, that you'll actually remember something from the class, and that you will be able to apply something. So any of you who are teachers, I would say some of the most important things that you can do for your students, some of the most important things you can do for your students is always make sure that your students know where you want them to go. What is their mission? They usually call it in pedagogy your learning objective. But I think a mission is a lot more inspiring. If I say, all right, folks, your learning objective for this class, right? But what is our mission? And also a very clear sense of mission accomplished. So the mission should be something that you can be, do, have, avoid, or achieve. Be, do, have, avoid, or achieve. Now, not what you, the teacher, want to do, but what you want your students, your participants, to be able to be, do, have, avoid, or achieve by the end of each lesson. And then you want to have an overall mission if you've got a series of classes like this has. And it should be very measurable. I'm sure you've all heard of SMART goals. These missions should be very measurable. Your students should be able to know whether or not they've accomplished the mission. It shouldn't be a vague thing. Well, have I? Have I not? You don't want to have a mission of just be humble. That's too vague. Nobody knows what it means anyway. I mean, somebody knows, but obviously some people know what it means. So it should be something measurable, and there should be some sort of celebration of mission accomplished. There should be some kind of acknowledgement or celebration. It can be as small as saying, Jai Prabhu. But there should be, it's one of our psychological needs is celebration. Or a celebration of negative things, too. I mean, we're going to a funeral memorial service, not just for Chakra's benefit, but for the family. To mark things with some kind of event is part of our psychology. It's needed. So a clear mission and a clear mission accomplished. Then another thing is you want to be able to give your students an overview for each lesson and each segment. What are you going to cover? Some kind of summary at the beginning. How are you going to structure things? Other things that are, that's the most important thing. And that should be there. Every Bhagavatam class you give, CC class, Bhagavad Gita class, anytime you're teaching anything, that's the most basic. That your students should know what is their goal for that class. And should have one, only one, only one, only one, please, only have one for each class. A very clear understanding of mission accomplished, a way to celebrate that, and an overview so people can see how am I going to get there, what's going to be structured. That's the most basic thing in teaching. Then other things are to work in, this is going to sound funny, expectations of failure. Normalize failure. Because we are not all going to achieve everything in the first minute. And even if we're achieving everything nicely for a week or a month or a year, we may still struggle. So it's important when you're teaching to have people understand that failure is normal and failure is a learning experience. That apparent failure is part of the learning experience. Don't set things so high and so difficult that people are going to be discouraged. Then another thing is to have people get small achievements, especially if you have a long session, to have people get small achievements as you're going through, again, that are recognized and acknowledged. All of us are wired. We're all Ananda Maya Vyasat. We're all wired for pleasure. And if we're experiencing some actual pleasure in what we're learning, we'll be motivated. A lot of people's teaching is dry and boring and painful. And none of us are motivated by dry, boring, and painful. And Krishna is not dry, boring, and painful. So if our teaching is dry, boring, and painful, it's not Krishna conscious. And the final thing, there's a lot more, but a lot more, but the final thing is that in the process of your teaching, you want people to have some deep emotional experiences. It shouldn't all just be in the head. So the telling of stories, of actually trying to imagine ourselves with these personalities, you know, what would it be like to sit with Prithu Maharaj in the forest? A lot of our mission accomplished people had a lot of deep realizations and deep experiences in their missions accomplished. And, I remember at least two of you said over the course of these days, you know, well, I actually felt a sense of freedom and liberation in doing this mission. So to build in some experiences. And that may mean changing things up sometimes, changing your voice, changing your demeanor, putting in some funny video or some picture or something that is engaging people holistically, not just the mind, but engaging people as a whole person. So those are some things that I tried to do as a teacher, and with this course that I've been taking, I've been really trying to do even more of it, and really, as they say, up my game. So it's very nice to get some feedback about how that's been of service to you. So our overall mission with this is to incorporate something of the teachings of Prithu Maharaj into our life and our teaching. If we're giving Shastra classes, sometimes, to refer to something from the life of Prithu Maharaj, from the teachings of the Kumaras, something that we have learned. That way we can get all these nice benedictions. If we have help other people to hear about Prithu Maharaj, and we will certainly bring happiness to Srila Prabhupada, who spent so much time and effort translating and purporting the Bhagavatam. So again, whatever you have seen in good in me is due to Srila Prabhupada. Whatever is bad in these classes is all mine. Please take the good. I hope you can forgive the bad. And thank you very much. Thank you to the VIHE for this opportunity. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.